This is a new day for New York 19.
Where is the good officers at? If 11 of them is no damn good, we want to know where the good ones at.
I believe the goal is beating Donald Trump.
Watch your
tongue. What do you mean? She just called me names.
So I don't give a f- she spoke the truth.
Whoa, look at that. There's a beaver 5 feet from us. Usually they whack their tails on the water and try to scare you off. That was a pretty brave beaver.
We've learned some tough lessons, and those lessons are we have to hold people accountable.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. On this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we listen to an extended interview WAMC's North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley recorded with the Vermont Secretary of State. On June 6th, Democrat Jim Condos delivered the keynote address at a summit called Building a New Cybersecurity Paradigm in Boston. Then he spoke about election security and more with our Pat Bradley.
The key thing that I tried to bring up is that kind of going back a little bit of history is to talk about how we got to this point. And for Vermont, we were ahead of the game. So we've been considered a leader nationally. We started back in 2013 with focusing on our cybersecurity for all of our systems, not just elections, but specifically all of our systems. And as I said at the in my keynote that today I now eat, sleep, and breathe cybersecurity. I have a tendency to wake up in the middle of the night dreaming about firewalls, vulnerability assessments, and penetration testing. It's a new normal since that August 2016 conference call with then Secretary of Homeland Security Jay Johnson and all the Secretaries of State on the phone notifying us that the Russian cyber agents were attacking our election systems. But it's not just that. I mean, we're seeing things like ransomware going attacking municipalities. I think the latest was Baltimore got hit by a ransomware attack. But the cyber bad actors are adjusting the way they operate. I guess the point I would make is that there's a couple of good news stories out of this. First, the good news is that secretaries of state around the country are doing the work that's necessary to protect our election systems. And then the other piece of that good news is what used to be just an IT problem is now a priority as these issues have really moved from the server room to the boardroom. You and I have talked before, I think, about this, that there were 21 states that were originally attacked, with one state being breached. I have repeatedly said to many of the media outlets that the story isn't about the one state that was breached. The real story was that 20 states defended and defended well. They did their job. Post-election 2018, several national news organizations called me to ask what happened on the day before. And my response was, no news is good news. So in any case, we were in decent shape in 2016, but we were in even better shape in 2018. And I suspect we are far more able to defend against these attacks in 2020. The interesting thing, Pat, is that the enemies of our democracy change their tactics. They evolve every day. If what they tried yesterday to get in didn't work, I can assure you that they're going to try a different way today. And if that doesn't work, they'll try again tomorrow. I think it's important for all of us to remember that cybersecurity is really a race without a finish line.
Secretary Condos, as you mentioned, you've been talking about this for years, and you've been living and breathing it for a while. Now that we've got the Secretary of State's on board and really looking at this, do you find that communities, especially the smaller ones, are moving beyond that sort of NIMBY, can't happen here perspective regarding election security, that it's actually getting down to the localities?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to understand that different states have different modes of operation. For instance, in the Northeast, we have a lot of, we go from the state government right down to the local municipalities, whereas in a lot of the country, they have counties in between, and the county's government handle, the county governments handle a lot of this election stuff. But here, yes, I think we've definitely got people's attention. I know, for instance, we added a year or so ago, we added two-factor authentication, just like you do to get into your bank account online. You have to, you go through a second method of authentication, usually a different, you know, they'll send you an email or a text message and you have to punch that number in. Well, we're doing the same thing with our local towns. Anybody that has to access our election management system has to go through the two-factor authentication. And I think that's a piece of the pie. That's a piece of the solution to help defend is providing that. And, you know, we've also, I've been a strong proponent of what we call, you know, it's easy to defend a machine, but we also have to defend by starting to secure the humans. And that's a phrase you'll hear often in this world of cybersecurity, is secure the human. We last year before the election, we did a two-hour WebEx, with our town clerks, 246 town clerks across the state. Pretty much all of them, I think all but maybe 10, had taken the WebEx survey, and basically it just teaches you basic cybersecurity. The biggest factor when you look at breaches to computers and computer systems is typically a phishing email. Thinks they know who it is, and they click on it, and bang, they got the malware installed on their system. So it's something that you have to be really conscious of. This WebEx actually helped to train town clerks on what to look for, you know, to decide whether it's a legitimate email or not, or what to do if you're not sure.
When I was looking at the agenda for this summit, it was describing your keynote, and one of the phrases in the description said you'd be talking about combating disinformation. And my thought was, well, gee, is that from a municipal or a voter perspective?
That's more from the voter perspective. It's really what we've seen is a strong influence of on our social media contacts, for instance, Facebook, Twitter. And specifically, you could have false messages put out there that say, oh, Democrats vote on Tuesday, Republicans vote on Wednesday, or polling places are all open until 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night. And we know that those are false. And, you know, we've actually gone to the point where we're now a blue dot verified on both Twitter and Facebook, and not only just us, but, you know, here in Vermont, but also across the nation and through the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI, where they're advising people to know their trusted sources, such as the secretaries of state offices, to get the correct information. And we also have opened up channels with both Facebook and Twitter in order to report what we see as disinformation or misinformation, so that they can take it down. But the problem is, Pat, that as soon as if you or I see that misinformation on Facebook or Twitter, hundreds of thousands of people have probably already seen it. By the time it gets taken down, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of people could have seen that information and believe it. And so it's a real problem. And we're constantly talking with Facebook and Twitter, not just me, but our national association, about how we can impact and change the way we're dealing with this.
One of the other impacts on the elections is the potential Soviet influence, which you've mentioned in the conversation. But one of the things that came up recently was the Mueller report, and people are talking about how his report may be changing perspectives on election security. Has the Mueller report, and if so, how has the Mueller report changed perspectives on particularly cybersecurity?
Well, I think in the area of cybersecurity on election systems, we've been really focused, me, myself, and the other 49 states plus the six territories have been really focused on cybersecurity now for, since 2016. We've created communications channels with our partners, with our federal partners, such as Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, and others. We have tools in our that have been offered to us by DHS, things like penetration tests, vulnerability assessment. Vermont, for instance, we signed up back in 2016. We do a weekly cyber hygiene scan with Department of Homeland Security, where they actually scan our systems looking for any vulnerabilities and then give us a report. Because you don't know when you're going to get attacked, and you don't know when an opening might occur. So you want to try to do as much diligence as you can and be vigilant going forward. It's kind of interesting that, I guess what I would say is, for instance, CISA director, and CISA stands for, it's from DHS, it's a Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, abbreviated to CISA. Director Chris Krebs has been a strong proponent of helping the states and making sure that we have the tools necessary going forward. But what the Mueller report has done for us is, frankly, it offers confirmation that this occurred, that it's real, that it's not a hoax, that we do need resources. And I think he was trying to issue it as a wake-up call to the states and to Congress that we have to face up to this. And we've noticed that in the last week or so, both House and Senate have passed bills with some election security money in it, and resources to help us. And now they have to get together and decide how much they're going to forward to the states. But there's a significant. We were able to get $380 million nationwide last year in around the May June timeframe, and my understanding is that it could be as high as $600 million coming out in this next round. So this is a race without a finish line, and it's the new normal. We're going to be facing this forever going forward, and we need resources, the states do, in order to combat it.
Well, when you talk about possibly getting that $600 million, how much would, on average, be needed annually for the states to be able to be secure?
I can't answer that question. It will vary from state to state, depending on their systems, on their needs, on their laws. What I'm suggesting is that we need an ongoing, sustainable amount of money from Congress to help the states continue to fight this, because we don't know what the future will hold. But we do know that, for instance, to replace all of the vote tabulating equipment that's out there right now, I think the Brennan Center did a brief back-of-the-envelope study or something a couple years ago, and they came up with $1.2 to $1.5 billion to replace just the equipment. And, we're also talking about management systems, about software. So it could be considerable. And I'm saying, rather than get the money once every 10 or 15 years, a lump sum, we really should focus on providing money to the states in a more sustainable and ongoing method to keep up with it. Because if we were to get money last year and then wait 10 more years before we get another pot of money, We still have to, we've got 10 years worth of elections going on. We have to stay on top of it. And so those costs build up. And every state's going to be different. Their procurement systems are different. But I think that, you know, you have to also recognize California has, I don't know what, you know, they got 34 million last year. Vermont got 3 million. And I don't know what the number was for the state of New York, but it was considerable. But every state's different because of the size of the state and how big the voter checklist is.
Jim Condos, you were the keynote speaker at the Building a New Cybersecurity Paradigm Summit. Did you actually get a chance to attend, you know, some of the panels or you know, any of the sessions at all?
Yeah, it was a morning. It was a morning conference, I guess I would say. It was done by noontime. So I was able to sit in on some of the other conversations that were going on.
Did you find, you know, which ones did you find most intriguing?
Well, the panel that was immediately following mine had a municipal person from Boston in charge of cybersecurity, had a member of the FBI was there, the local the federal agent was on the panel, and then there was someone there from, I believe, from Washington D.C. who worked for the Transportation Department and talked about the importance of cybersecurity, just looking at cars, autos, and trucks. Because all of our cars nowadays are operated by computer, and frankly, they have remote access to them. So it's just a matter of understanding that anytime you have, whether it's an iPad, a PC, computer, a phone, iPhone, or a smartphone, any kind of computer-driven type of system is a machine, and if it's a machine, it can be hacked. And we have to hope that we've got the cybersecurity in place to defend and knock those down. You know, as I guess I would say, there was one vendor that was there that deals almost exclusively with devices. They have got a niche, and they work on securing devices to protect them. You know, the problem is that we have right now, and this is what, you know, ongoing, you know, we can't wait until 2020 to deal with this. We have to do that. We need the funding today, this year, so that we can be ready for 2020, because it does take time to put these things in place. You know, I guess I'd characterize it in a different way. We need to build a wall. No, not the wall on the border, but we need to build a wall protecting our democracy.
That's Vermont Secretary of State Jim Condos speaking with WAMC's North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley. And that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Till next time, I'm Ian Pickus.